Welcome to Hot Weekly.
Everyone, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast beyond an attraction on entertainment community. Whether an actor, owner, or just a plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And I nearly forgot the fucking intro. It's just like, okay, speak.
Yes.
Brain just like shut down. Like, ah, no, we're pulling her offline for 10 seconds. Got to reboot her. Sorry about that. Well, that's what that little pause was. Well, that's why the bear had the big pause.
Yep.
But anyways, yes, indeed, this is Haunt Weekly. You can find us at hauntweekly.com or Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. You can go there, get all past episodes there for available for a quick and easy streaming. And also you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever finer podcasts are distributed. So yes, indeed. All right, so this is episode 240. It's an episode divisible by four.
Mm-hmm.
That means we're doing
the news.
And I'm not going to lie, this is a rough one.
It is.
It's a really rough one.
Yes.
Now, when we have rough news episodes, I make a promise, and I'm doing it again this time.
Mm-hmm.
The promise is this. You sit through the slog of bad news, I promise to have some uplifting and happy stories at the end.
Right.
I promise to send you home as happy as I can.
Hopefully they're already home.
Well, it's an expression.
I know.
I think we listen to this in their car. You know, people listen to us all over the place. We get told all the time about all the crazy places people listen to us. Some of y'all are weird. I'm just saying. But anyways, one of the things you can do, though, is check us out at hauntweekly.com. There on hauntweekly.com/COVID-19, all lowercase, one word, COVID-19. We have our COVID-19 resources. It is a mishmash of great links for haunters and spooky kids to help you, potentially open your haunt. We have guides as what Fear Factory and Salt Lake City did on their reopening.
Mm-hmm.
We also have things that resources that Japes provided us, including the barbicide training and all that for disinfecting.
Right.
We also have just some virtual tours and things you can do while you're still limited in where you can go. What, have you never seen the Muter Museum? You really should. There's a great virtual tour of it on the COVID-19 page. You should check it out. And they have tours like the Paris Catacombs, tours of Eastern State Penn. There's a tour of, I believe, the blah, 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 the Winchester House.
Yes.
I'm like, what's the crazy gun lady's house?
Yeah.
I was about to just blurt out crazy gun lady's house and hope someone got me.
I think we would have.
Oh, man. But yes, all kinds of neat stuff in there. Once again, hauntweekly.com/COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
And as we have been doing lately, we are beginning every episode, now that we're doing these live shows, with a question for the audience. But
right.
We're doing it a little different this time.
Yes.
We're doing something special. You see, a while back, we got all these kick-ass buttons from Derek Muehlberger.
Yes.
Who loves making buttons. He's a button-making fool. He loves making buttons. So he made us a whole bunch of buttons. And we've been like, well, we need some for the podcasts and when we go to conferences and things. So we've set aside some for us.
Right.
But the question is, what do we do with the others?
Yes.
We came up with an answer. You did specifically.
Yes.
I didn't come up with crap. So Crystal, tell the nice people what we're going to do.
Well, what we are going to do is if you answer the question of the week, and we really like your answer, you're the best answer of the week, we are going to reach out to you to ask you for your address, and we're going to send you a button.
And yes, it is absolutely subjective in every single way, shape, or form. You have to answer the question of the week, which will be coming up in just a second. And if we like your answer, maybe we'll have a tie some weeks. Maybe we'll do two. I don't know. We'll pick out an answer or so that we really loved. It made us giggle, made us smile, brought joy into our lives, and give y'all a button.
Right. And if anyone's listening to the podcast but isn't able to watch the live show, email us, contact us at one of our places at Hall Weekly, and we will consider you also.
Yes. In fact, we will consider you retroactively. Like, we won't announce who's winning this week. We'll announce next week.
Okay.
That way, the people who are playing along at home have time to get their emails. So here's what you got to do. If you're listening to this on the podcast, email us before Sunday, meaning during the week, and get your chance.
Yeah.
How's that?
That sounds good.
And then we'll announce on next podcast who won, and we'll get your mailing information and drop it to you.
Right.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. I like this. I like giving away things. And these are awesome buttons. I'm super stoked.
Yeah.
I hate to get rid of these. These are awesome.
Yeah.
These are awesome. So, but deeply excited to be giving them away at the same time. So that brings us to the question of the week. Mm-hmm. And I like this one. AI wrote this one, so of course I like it.
Well, yeah, obviously.
But I love this question for a very simple reason, and that is it's something to be very educational. And that is, what is a simple scare that you find never fails? And I want to focus on simple scares.
Right.
Because that's something anybody can do. Home haunters, front porch haunters, big mega haunts, little ones, charity haunts, budget haunts.
Yeah.
Anybody can do these scares, and they always get a pop. They always seem to get a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
What's your can't-miss scare?
Yeah.
Let us know in the chat, and we'll come back to those at the end. And also, once again, email us via the contact form at Haunt Weekly with yours, if you want to do that.
Yes.
Or post comments on Facebook. Basically, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, Haunt Weekly on Twitter, HauntWeekly.com. Contact us. We don't really care the means.
Yeah.
All contact methods are perfectly valid. So, what simple scare never fails? I've been trying to think about this one a lot. And honestly, I think in the years, the one thing we have found that never seems to miss is if you have a concrete floor and a shovel, dragging that shovel behind a group really motivates. Something about that sound and something about the sudden emergence of a person just with a shovel, it really gets people going.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's one I would say never fails. Crystal, do you have one? I know you're working the chat. I'm trying.
I am, and once again, it's messing up on the computer, but not on my phone, so I'm handling it there. So any loud noise that you can make really fast from a direction that isn't expected.
Yeah.
That could be banging on a metal chair, a well-placed drop panel, well-placed and well-timed, anything that's loud. And also, with the drop panel, because I do think that is an easy scare.
Yeah, well, it's a good simple scare.
And as long as you don't overuse it, drop panels are fine. They're effective.
As long as you don't overuse them, as long as you place them well. Oh, we might have a cat later.
Yeah.
as long as you don't overuse them and place them well, they work.
Right.
They always work.
Exactly, because then, you get the loud bang and you get a new visual coming out. So that plays on those two senses. Yeah. That's something we've talked about before.
Yeah. And that's a part of our tactics talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, a good place to put a drop panel is basically around any corner as they come around.
Yeah.
Because that way they don't have line of sight on it and they can't spot it early.
Right.
Because that's how a lot of drop panels go sideways, is they'll put them on these long hallways. I'm like, oh, yeah, obviously that painting's the one that's different than the others.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And even Joe Dumbass can figure it out. So.
Yeah, yeah, I wish I had pictures of our rock wall drop panel.
Yeah.
Because I did a good job hiding
it. Yeah, that was a great drop panel.
Yeah.
I remember that one. I know the one exact one you're talking about. So anyways, moving along.
Yes.
It is time to do the news. And like I said, it is going to be a depressing week. Crystal's going to kick it off in just a second. But once again, repeating my promise, stick with us. And there will be more uplifting stories at the end.
Right.
And right off the bat, I'm going to say I had trouble picking which one was the lead story.
Yeah.
There was two or three that felt like equal gut punches.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, we start where we start. Crystal.
Yep. So, the first story is Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party 2020 has been canceled. This actually keeps in line with a lot of what Disney's already said about canceling parades and those kind of functions. People who have already bought it will be refunded. And then they're continuing to monitor with regards to their Christmas events, but I have a feeling that we're not going to be out of the woods by then. So
yeah,
look for that too.
This was in a weird way, this was a huge gut punch. I get that Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween is kind of the antithesis of a haunted attraction.
Right.
It's not really a haunted house. In fact, it's kind of, like I said, the opposite of it. But it's a major Halloween event, and it's one of the largest in the country. And it is put on by a notoriously aggressive company that always works and strives to, you know, push things through. So it's a bit of a gut punch. Now, they'd already gone through and canceled parades, stage shows. What else was there? It was parades, stage shows, live events, fireworks displays, stuff like that. They'd already canceled all that. And that's pretty much all Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween was. When you break it down, what makes it different from going to Disney any other day?
Right.
It's not a huge shock. It keeps in line with what they've already done.
Yeah.
It was set to begin August 13th. A, my birthday.
Yeah.
B, August 13th?
That does seem like it's, that's even, that's.
That's early.
That's early.
That's early, huh?
I don't think we're even thinking about going to things like that in August.
No, if I rock up in August and the Disney World, A, I'm an idiot. I'm going to Central Florida in August.
Well,
I'm already used to that swamp life, so maybe it makes sense. Maybe there is a degree of sense there.
No.
But no, in August, I'm not thinking Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween. I'm thinking, you know, summer stuff. I don't know.
We're thinking we've got to ramp up the promotion and the finishing details for the haunt if we're going to have one that year.
Yeah, it's a gut punch, though, because, like I said, Disney, it's like if anybody can have their Halloween stuff go off, it would seem to be Disney.
Mm-hmm.
You would think Disney would have the resources, the manpower, everything to do it, and they didn't see a way to do it.
Yeah, they didn't see a way to safely do it. I mean, it sucks because it is a big event for families to celebrate Halloween. And, you know, so, yeah, sad about it.
Yeah, it's a sad thing.
They're kind of like the lead, you know, even though we don't think of Disney as a leading area or, you know, it's not really haunt related.
Yeah.
It's haunt adjacent.
Yeah.
But what they put out is going to be like the line for big events everywhere.
Yeah. I am surprised after this that we did not hear about Halloween Horror Nights being canceled.
I am too.
I fully expected that announcement.
Me too.
Because this happened fairly early in the cycle. And I figured we'd be reporting on the Halloween event, Halloween Horror Nights being canceled, but that has not happened yet. However, the same token, Halloween Horror Nights has not actually announced anything yet either.
Right. So, and usually we're announcing the houses that are going to be there.
Yeah, usually by now, right this time of year, we're living off that drip feed for the news. We like need to squeeze the juice out of Halloween Horror Nights announcements because they start making those like in May, March or April, something like that, all the way back then. Mm-hmm. And we get that drip feed, you get like one per month all the way leading up.
Right.
And for us doing a monthly news podcast, in what is a very seasonal industry, those tend to be very, very quiet months. And we live for those announcements. But they have not been made yet that I have found or heard about, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, and more sad news, this is an article by Attractions Magazine. Queen Mary's Dark Harbor and Dark Horizon Point of No Return canceled their 2020 season.
Mm-hmm.
Queen Mary Dark Harbor, obviously a major, well-known, big haunt near L.A. It's in Long Beach, California, so L.A. for the rest of the world. I know they don't see it that way, but and then my friend from L.A. that may be listening might just come back and kill me later for even insinuating that.
I'm sure that won't happen.
But the point of the matter is, that is a long-running established haunt. That's a major gut punch. Dark Horizon, last year was their first season.
Right. Yeah, I'm actually reading this. Reminded me that they were there and that they were in Florida. And Florida's, you know, on a trip in the future, probably, for Halloween.
Yeah, we've been to the Florida Panhandle to see haunts. We've been as far as Pensacola. But we've not been into the penis of Florida.
for Halloween.
Not for Halloween. No, we've been all the way to Key West for other things.
Right.
We spent a couple months in Key West. Weirdest part, weirdest time of our lives, man. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Weird place. Awesome place. Weird place. But yeah, Dark Horizon was their new haunt. Like, and I kind of, you got to admire that. It's like, oh yeah, we have this very successful haunt in LA. Where do we want to open our second one? Mm-hmm. Florida. Just Orlando.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just clean across the country. That's well, bold.
Yeah, but it kind of makes sense.
It does.
I mean,
there is sense to it.
You know, Disney World, Disneyland, they did the same thing. So.
Yeah, and they're both in basically neighboring where the theme parks are. It makes a degree of sense. Yeah, both haunts are expecting to return in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's a significant closure. A, it's a bi-coastal closure.
Yes.
It impact, and that's one of the things. It's like when the first few closures were announced, people were saying things like, oh, yeah, yeah, it's just that one state has stupid regulations.
Right.
Or it's just, you know, it's just that one town or whatever. They're trying to make it seem like it was just one place and that it wouldn't be a nationwide thing. And here you have one company looked at what was going on in two states that are in very different places with COVID right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Florida is in the middle of a huge spike. And California is, well, it's on the rise there too, but they're not as bad,
yeah.
is my understanding. But yeah, looked at the situation in both places and said, nope, can't do it, and shut it down. They called it in June.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the things that, you know, I'm glad they're being responsible with their decision.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, there are huge spikes in Florida, and Florida is just considering shutting down stuff.
Again.
Again. Completely. They never fully shut down everything anyway.
Yeah.
They never did. And so, you know, I'm glad that they're taking it upon themselves to make this difficult decision.
Yeah. And it's really weird because, like, Florida was a Louisianan.
Mm-hmm.
If we had gone into Florida, especially during the early months, we either would have been turned back or ordered to quarantine in a hotel room for 2 weeks.
Right, and right now we'd be quarantined for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Even though we're from New Orleans, which...
is actually doing quite well with it. We're
yeah.
not doing that bad. There's a bit of an uptick here, but nothing like what we're seeing mm-hmm. in, like, Jacksonville, Orlando.
Or even other parts of the state.
Yeah, even other parts of the state, yeah. We're doing yeah. better in, like, Shreveport and so forth.
Yeah.
In terms of keeping it down. I see this when I go out and about the rare times I do.
Yeah.
When we're in Orleans Parish, people are taking this seriously. There's social distancing. People got their goddamn masks on most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Number of mask holes is very limited.
Yeah.
You cross that parish line in a JP, and it's another world. You might as well travel to another universe.
Yeah. Yeah, they just started requiring mask or recommending mask. It's not even required, right?
Yeah, they had a mask requirement.
Okay.
And people threw a goddamn fit about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that was this week.
That was this week, yeah.
They started doing that.
Fucking fit.
Yeah. So anyway.
We've had a mask requirement since stage one reopening.
Yeah.
We've had mask requirement. It was always a requirement that you wear masks if you're going to be inside a place of business.
Yep.
And a lot of, and yes, yeah, some grocery stores and such aren't enforcing it.
Right.
But there is a requirement.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird because they put the onus on the stores. I don't get it.
So anyway.
Anyways, moving on.
Good for,
good for
them making a good choice, a smart choice.
Yes.
All right. So another cancellation. Surprise. Kennywood Park has canceled their fall events. I have not heard of Kennywood Park before.
I have heard of Phantom Fright Nights, which is their Halloween event.
Yeah.
I'd heard of that. I did not know it was Kennywood Park.
Yeah.
I knew that, because someone had once described Phantom Fright Nights as like Halloween Horror Nights, but in the Pennsylvania area.
Right.
but for that region.
Yeah.
I don't know if its quality's on par or what. I have not known anything about it, but I've heard the name Phantom Fright Nights.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, this is near Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And they announced they're canceling all of their fall events.
Yeah. Not just Phantom Fright Nights.
Right. So, having Hauntings and Fall Fantasy are also canceled. The park itself will be open, but with limited hours.
And limited capacity.
And
I
limited capacity.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, because they're going down to like 25%, right?
Yeah. Which I don't understand what capacity at a theme park is.
Yeah.
That's such a weird thing. Anyway, digress. Move on.
Yeah. We'll still hold the Pierogi Fest on September 7th.
Yeah.
And they're planning on their Christmas lights still.
Yeah.
but visitors will be required to follow all of CDC guidelines. So that's what's going on there.
And that includes mask wearing.
Yes.
Yeah. This one, once again, the geography here is interesting to me because Pittsburgh is in a very different place than California, which is in a different place in Florida. But we're seeing events all over cancel. And it's countrywide at this point, it seems like. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. And that's what worries me. Like, there have been like a flurry of haunts in Florida announcing their closure. I'm like, okay, Florida's in a shit state right now. They're in a shit place. I can see why all these haunts are closing.
Yeah.
But the fact that it seems to be nationwide, we're seeing closure announcements in June and early July.
Right.
That's much more worrisome in terms of, are we going to have a haunt season, or what is haunt season 2020 going to look like?
Yeah. No, I agree.
Speaking of which, Terror Behind the Walls, Eastern State Pen in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, has also announced it's canceling its 2020 season. This was one of the first big announcements, and this one was the biggest gut punch for me, I think.
Yeah, me too.
Because the article we're quoting from is Clara Sasko at City Life, but it could be, there's 100 sites with the story, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Long story short, they took a look at the changes they were going to have to make and the revenue they could hope to bring in with a limited crowd.
Right.
And it just didn't make sense for them to open, because you have to remember, this is a charity fundamentally.
Yeah, and it's a historical site.
Yeah. It's a privately owned historical site,
mm-hmm.
and they do the haunt as a means to pay for, you know, Eastern State Pen to be open to visitors and to have tours and to do renovations and to, you know, upkeep on it,
right?
The rest of the year. That's one of their main fundraisers. And so this isn't just like, yeah, they can open and then lose a little money but come back strong next year. No, they can't really afford to do that. And it's tragic because they've already cut 40% of their staff.
Right.
Instituted pay decreases for everyone that's still there.
Yeah.
They are cutting to the goddamn bone from the sound of it.
Yeah.
And they're just now reopening for tours, and they're only doing private tours of very small groups.
Right, that are focusing on related, you know, activism and mm-hmm. policing and the history yeah. of policing people in the U.S.
Yeah, no, they
and
said...
And incarceration.
Yeah, they said the preparation for the haunt had been underway for months, not surprised.
No.
But yeah, they just basically felt the cost of implementing the guidelines that they would have needed to implement, they had no way of recouping that when you also couple that with the reduced crowds. The fact they were going to be... Because Eastern State Penn gets millions and millions of dollars per year. They have huge, long lines.
Yeah, they do have long lines. They do have a lot of visitors coming to them. And if you're ever in the area and haven't been or are planning a trip there, it's a great place to go check out. It's... Great.
Now, we've been to Eastern State Pen as a historical site.
Yes.
We have not been for the haunt.
Right.
It is a great historic site, though.
Exactly.
It is an awesome place to check out. Yeah, I agree completely.
Yeah.
I would take the tour.
Yeah.
Take two tours. It's great.
Yeah. Hey, it's on my top list of places that I've been.
Yeah, that would, we did that and the Meter Museum in the same day.
Yeah.
Because we're mad lads.
Yeah, it was, yes, it was a very good day.
It was actually a very, very good day. I mean,
yeah.
And we saw some of the best Philly has to offer.
Yeah. But,
No, well, I did not prepare for that. Fireworks, I figured, were coming. But
yeah.
We're recording on the 5th of July. But
recording.
Whatever the hell that was.
I think it was a car horn. But anyway. But yeah, no, I'm sad about it. I know that they have been seeing a loss of revenue over these past months.
Yeah.
And they just couldn't do it.
It's a great place. So. I hate to see it struggle, and I know it's going to struggle more because they can't do one of their biggest fundraisers.
Right.
So here's hoping they're able to find another source to replace it. But they do have a history of ending events that don't fit with their vision, because they're very much and very active on trying to be an educational place. And right now, with everything going on, they're focusing heavily on policing and law enforcement.
Right.
And crime and punishment in the United States, and where Eastern State Penn fits into that history.
Yeah.
They're focusing a lot on that.
And you know, they fit very well into that history. They were one of the first prisons that was built that way.
Yeah.
So.
It's actually a very interesting history of Eastern State Penn. Yeah, in 2018, they canceled their popular Bastille Day event. because they said it had grown too big, it was too resource intensive, and it just wasn't in line with their goals.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, they've done cancellations before, but they said that Terror Behind the Walls, they have not said it will not return in 2021. They've not said anything one way or the other, but it's expected to return in 2021. I hope so. It would be a huge loss for the haunted attraction industry to lose Eastern State Penn and lose Terror Behind the Walls.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
All right. The Asylum Haunted Scream Park has now closed, not just for 2020, but for good.
Yeah.
They posted on Facebook that the Asylum Haunted Scream Park in Louisville, Kentucky, has closed after 10 years. They appreciated everybody. They are going to, they're still planning on opening a nearby American Horrorplex.
Yeah, the nearby haunted attraction called the American Horrorplex.
Yeah, they're still working with them on that. So some of the same people will be involved. So
yeah, if they're able to open there.
If you're a fan of it, then that's where you can see them. But they said that it's not a COVID-related business decision.
Yeah, they said it was a business not a COVID-related one.
Right.
And I find that questionable.
Yeah, I do too.
Because, okay, sure, it probably was ultimately a business decision.
Yeah.
But But basically, why is the business looking the way it is? Partly because of COVID.
Right.
COVID has to be a factor in that business decision.
Yeah.
So, long story short, even though they say it's not a COVID decision, it has to be impacted by COVID. I don't see any way it couldn't be. Even if things had been trending downward for a while,
right?
COVID still has to be a nail in the coffin type moment.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. Okay. Next.
Okay, so yeah, it's sad to see it happen, but like you said, they've got another haunt, American Horrorplex. It's also in Louisville, Kentucky, where this is.
Right. So they're not losing the total number of haunts in the city.
No. They're not losing both haunts. Man. We finally get to announce this one publicly.
Yeah. Yeah, if you were on the if you were on chat a few weeks ago, this was announced. But Jonathan, take it away.
Yeah, basically Scout Island Scream Park also canceled for 2020. We knew about this a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
One of the people that worked before them was in the chat and dropped it in the chat.
Right.
But we didn't want to announce it until there was a public announcement.
Exactly.
And it was said in the after chat, if I recall correctly, so just us and the other people in that chat saw it.
Right.
And I didn't feel comfortable announcing it, like inside scoop information. It's not what we do here.
No.
So Scout Island, which is the newest haunted attraction, well, New Orleans Nightmare. The Scout Island and New Orleans Nightmare opened the same year, didn't they?
Yeah.
I think they did, so. Okay.
So tied for the newest.
I think it opened the same year. but it's the only, was, is the only haunted scream park in the New Orleans area. And they have canceled their 2020 season. They did not say why. The website does not say why.
Right.
It was canceled. So we can't say for certain it's specifically COVID related. I will say that the way that's structured is very bizarre to me,
mm-hmm.
because you have a partner. It is a partnership between the mortuary, another haunted house in this area,
right.
and City Park.
Yes.
City Park itself is this bizarre public-private partnership. It's a really weird thing where we get some public money, but not much, and it fundraises. It's a nonprofit, and it's this big, huge park. It is ginormous.
Yeah, I mean, it's very large. I mean,
it's one of the largest municipal parks in the country.
Yeah, and Scout Island surprised me, actually, because they're still debating whether or not to close mortuary.
Yeah.
But Scout Island, because it's outdoors and because it's on such a large area, it's easy to social distance.
Yeah, that's the thing that kind of, like, of all the haunts in the area that I felt like should cancel because of COVID. Mm-hmm. Scout Island was last. I mean, to describe to people how Scout Island works is you pull into a parking lot, which is just a giant field.
Right.
And then you cross a long footbridge.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get to the ticket booth area.
Yeah, because it is actually on an island in City Park.
Literally on an island. Then you buy a ticket or you show your QR code or whatever and get your wristband.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go through it and you're in this giant open area. It's like 4 or 5 football field size.
Yeah.
It's huge.
It is.
it takes a long while to walk across it, and there's not a whole lot in there. There's like some carnival rides and some like you know funnel cakes and stuff like that, little food booths.
Right.
And there's some tents and other things, but realistically, there's a lot of open space, and it's all outdoors. So you could easily social distance there. You could structure that. But if it, I have a feeling the reason that one was axed was because of the bizarre relationship behind the scenes. You know, I have a feeling that they just couldn't get the city park on board with it for 2020. They say they're looking to revamp it and bring it back to, they say, taking it to the next level in 2021.
Yeah.
It's pretty much, there's the fireworks what I was promised.
Yeah.
So it's a sad closure. It also is the one that makes the least sense to me because of how much of it's outdoors. In fact, all of it. So it's a sad closure for me, and it's the first time that the first closure that directly impacts our Halloween plans.
Right. Yeah, and this is something that we've talked about quite often. Is that you know your last year we had to close because of road work, and listeners know all about that because we talked about it every week for almost a year. We were looking forward to coming back this year, but we did get to enjoy a lot of haunts last year.
Yeah, we were able, you know, we were able to take some of that time, money, and things, enjoy other haunts.
Yeah, and we had some, you know, we weren't worrying about getting ours finished while we were out enjoying.
Yeah.
Which is something that normally does happen.
Yes.
But this year, it looks like we're not going to be able to even do that. So it is sad, but it's also necessary.
Yeah.
So.
Also, Chamber of Terror canceled their 2020 season.
Mm-hmm.
That's another cancellation. I'm trying to remember where they are. I just threw that in as another one because they had all the cancellation stories.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure where that Chamber of Terror was because there are so many.
Yeah, I know.
So...
I apologize. I'll get that information. I put it in the show notes and then forgot to flesh that out. That's on me. Because this is a much larger news show notes than we usually have.
Right.
Sorry about that.
No,
all right.
That's okay.
Next up.
Okay. So Midwest Haunters Convention has officially canceled. They had been touting themselves as the Trans World replacement.
They're by the same company. So
right.
It just seemed like a natural shift. Transworld can't happen, we'll move it to MHC.
Right, exactly. They are formally canceled due to COVID.
Yep.
And that is why. It came after a survey found that even if they could do it, too many people would feel uncomfortable being in crowds. And I understand that because, you know, anytime I go out and there's more than, you know, three people, I'm like, that's too many people. I'm not going there.
Yeah.
So I do understand.
Yeah, it's really funny because... we never liked going to crowded bars to begin with.
No.
We were never crowded bar people.
No.
In fact, we would we would go to like J&K on the road, and it's like if we saw there were a lot of people, we'd just keep driving and go to Crown Anchor.
That's the one that's closest to our home that's acceptable to go to.
Yeah, I find acceptable. But these days, it's like it used to be, there's like a ton of cars there. We can't go there. Now it's like... there's five people there. Are we still going?
Yeah, I know.
We're like looking at like a nearly empty parking lot counting cars.
Yeah. How many people could get into all those cars?
Exactly.
So
it sucks, but I agree with the logic. Now, we haven't talked about it, but Texas Haunters Convention is still slated to happen later this month.
Yeah.
In the middle of a COVID hotspot?
Yeah, we had not talked about it, and
no. I only want to touch on it briefly because I think it's absolutely insane.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't like, because I know the people who run it. We know people who run it.
Well,
and are involved with it.
Well, okay, we know people who are involved with it.
We know people who are involved with it. Yeah,
right. That's a better phrase.
Yeah.
We knew the person who originally started.
Yeah, Halloween and Haunt Fest. The old
Halloween and Haunt Fest. But fortunately, he passed away.
Yeah.
And then Texas Haunters Convention started up as a
replacement. A lot of the same people, yeah.
Yes.
And in the same place, even.
Right.
I can't fathom this.
Yeah, that's going to be July 25th through the 26th.
19 days out. I don't understand it, especially considering that Texas is clamping down further and further and further every day.
Yeah, and they are now requiring masks.
Yes.
Which they had not
planned
on doing.
I I wish them the best, but I think that is insane.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't see a way that can be deemed sane. All right, moving on. Speaking of insane, Crystal. Or did you do the last one?
I did the last one.
Oh, I do this one. Oh, good. Oh, goody. Oh, goody. I get to do this. Because we were talking on the way to some of the show notes. I said, I don't know which depresses me more, the haunts that are closing and canceling or the haunts that are open.
Yeah.
And I still can't decide.
Right.
Because Scream Hollow, Wicked Halloween Park, opened for its Summer Monster Bash. It's a haunted attraction theme. It's a haunted park in Smithville, Texas. And it opened for its annual Summer Monster Bash event. It features four haunted houses, a bar, a cafe, live bands, and more. Now, most of the venue is outdoors, but the haunts themselves are indoors. Scout Island, all the events themselves, all the haunts themselves are trail haunts, functionally. Mm-hmm. Outside of a few parts that were done in trailers in one attraction, but most of the part, the attractions themselves are outdoor.
Yeah.
They did some things. They spread out the picnic tables. They socially distanced their queue lines. They did not allow a group of more than six to go into an attraction at once. There's no indication, though, if groups are mixed. Like, if Crystal and I rock up, do we go in just the two of us, or are we going to get stuck with four strangers and swap their germs the whole way through?
Right, yeah.
And here's the part that kind of makes me go, what? They were selling as in an upcharge, social distancing necklaces. These are like the glow necklaces
that usually say, "Yeah,
come rough me up, come no. Full contact, come at me, bro." No, this was the "I want to be socially distanced" necklace, which should have been the default.
Exactly. I mean, why? I don't understand why that wasn't the default. Because, I mean, if you're going to have an event in the middle of COVID, everything should be socially distanced. But if you wanted people to allow, you know, if you want to risk your actors by having them to get close to people who are, frankly, dumb enough to buy a thing to say, yeah, come and spread your germs to me,
or to not buy.
You know.
Yeah, I guess so. Because one of the worst things you can do for spreading COVID is singing and screaming.
Yep.
They're fundamentally the same act, if you think about it.
Yes.
And if you're not screaming in a haunted house, the haunted house isn't doing... There's not a lot of screaming in a haunted house. Haunted house probably ain't doing a very good job.
Yeah.
So, of course, there's a lot of screaming. Of course, there's a lot of water droplets flying up in the air and stuff.
Yeah, because, I mean, you've got the actors who do a lot of screaming, traditionally at least. People are retraining to not do that. But, you know, so you've got that screaming. Plus, you've got, that's what you want your customers to do.
Yeah.
I mean, lots of haunts. If I go to it and I don't hear anything, then I'm worried that this is like a really bad haunt.
Yeah.
Because they're not getting reactions.
Exactly. They opened all the nights they'd planned. They'd planned 3 weekends. They were open June 12th through the 13th, 19th through 20th, 26th through 27th. Sorry, you missed it if you wanted to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't fathom opening like this and then selling as an add-on which should be the default.
Yeah, social distancing should be the default.
I don't and that was something that I really liked in the Fear Factory guidelines. They talked about social distancing rules and keeping actors away from people and vice versa.
Yeah.
They talked about that, and that was good.
Yeah.
That was good. These guys are like, no, you got to pay us to social distance.
Yeah, that's wrong. It's weird.
Those articles by Culture Map, by the way. Check out the link in the show notes.
Yeah, and a couple of people in chat are mentioning that, you know, there's still mandatory quarantines for people coming into those states and into states. So even if somebody wanted to go like that or to the convention that's still somehow happening, they'd have to be
quarantined. Yeah, wait a minute. How are you going to go to Texas Haunted Fest if you're not in Texas already?
Exactly. You would have to be quarantined for 2 weeks.
You got to go now. You got to get your ass there.
Exactly.
You got 5 days to get
there. So take off 3 weeks of work to go.
Oh, my God.
Granted, there are a lot of Texas haunters.
There are. Now, Texas is a big state with a lot of haunters. I don't doubt they can. You can fill a convention with just those.
I believe you can. I've seen.
But no, that's a good Facebook point, though. Like, if I were speaking there, I spoke at Halloween and Haunt Fest.
Right.
The last year it happened.
Yeah.
If I were speaking there, I couldn't go.
Right.
I can't afford to take 3 weeks.
No.
2.5, 3 weeks off.
No.
Dear God, you know, I'm barely scraping by as it is right now.
It's not like we have family that in that area that we could stay with.
No.
So we'd have to pay for someplace for 3 weeks.
Jesus. Yeah,
just to go for you to speak free.
Yeah. that there is called a bad investment.
Well, for free ticket.
Yeah, but no, I mean, oh, God, I didn't think of that. And I do find it amusing that both Florida and Texas are ordering quarantines of people coming into the state, but not doing the same for people in the state, even as they hit records on test cases.
Yeah. And Chris Kay just mentioned with the social distancing necklaces. Yeah. That's like saying you have to pay extra for the fire alarm system to be turned on when you go through.
Points to Chris. Points.
Yes.
Points. Award points.
All right.
He gets points. I don't know what points are in this. He gets points, though. All right. Yeah, you have the next one, I believe. I can take it if you're a Topato.
Yeah, I can. Let me get down to it. Sorry. Spirit Halloween is hiring. So
this is a weird thing to announce, but there's a reason.
Yeah, there have been rumors that Spirit's not opening this year.
And they've even been distributing like this fake-ass
press releases
and things like that.
Spirit Halloween. But that's not what Spirit's thinking. They're thinking they're going to have a fairly normal year. They've started hiring. Retail is different than haunted attractions, obviously.
Yeah.
Stores are still open.
Yeah.
Well, still go to them occasionally. So, the rumors are false. Spirit is going to be there. That's actually something that we were talking about earlier today, is whether or not we're going to be going to all of the different stores to do our annual review. And I think we probably will, just to see how different it is from a normal year.
Yeah, it may not be like every year we typically do a roundup of what's good and interesting at all the stores. And we go to, like, At Home, we go to everything, like, Walgreens, we'll go find some of the past episodes on that. We got a bunch of them. But, yeah, we do that, and this year we may do that episode, but it may be more of a, here's how it's different this year, here's what's changed.
Right.
Here's how Spirit changed because of COVID, here's what Walmart's got out different because of COVID, so on and so on and so on.
Exactly.
Could be an interesting episode in the future.
Yeah.
All right, I like this one. Drive-in style haunted houses are a huge hit in Japan. Japan, and we found this out from our friend Kyle, who went overseas, has a very kick-ass haunted house tradition.
Yeah, and it's
year-round, 365. Yeah. It's Raven's Grin Inn, but the whole country.
Yeah. Yeah, there's things to do everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, they have a very rich ghost history, too. If you don't know about the ghost of Japan, you should look it up.
There's a reason why Japanese horror is very distinctive.
Yes.
And it comes from the culture and the history and the lore there.
Yes.
The article is by Jesh that just turned into Sean Connery. Jesh Milligan. Dread Central. Josh Milligan and Dread Central. But yeah, but the haunts are closed right now because of COVID.
Right.
So they're experimenting with a brand new format.
Yes.
And I dig this. Basically what you do is you pull into a garage. And I'm guessing it's a garage like the size of this one. It's going to be fairly big. And turn off all your lights, honk 3 times, and then shit gets real.
Yeah, basically. And it sounds like pretty cool, especially if they've like taken over old car washes so that you can turn off your car and get onto the thing and then it moves.
Well, you're not moving in this one. You're not moving.
Yeah.
You just park, but yeah.
No,
but,
I know.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You could do that.
But to pull you in, to keep actors safe, so that people who get scared in their car don't, like, try to run people out over to get out of there.
Yeah. That's what they're doing at another haunt that's mentioning the same story.
Yeah.
But no, the event sold out. It ran through today, July 5th, is when we're recording. This will go live tomorrow. This just sounds awesome. And meanwhile, someone in Los Angeles, there's no information about this, is even at a secret location in Los Angeles for the ticket. They're planning a quote-unquote drive-through haunt, which I'm working out the logistics of that in my head and not coming up with good answers.
Right.
Because runners are bad enough in a haunted house.
Yeah.
But when runners get behind the wheel of a car.
Yeah, people would get scared.
Yeah, I like your idea though, like the little track and a car wash or something like that, or a Jiffy Lube type place or something.
Yeah, maybe drive between stations like that. Yeah. But I don't know.
Well, that's what you could do. You could do like what they do at Rise with the hayride there.
Mm-hmm.
And once you ride from place to place, and you might have little scary stuff here and there.
Right.
But basically, you drive, get into one building, pull through, drive to the next, get building, keep and do that.
Right.
That could
and
work.
I think that Rise could still do that this year. They would, you know, actors wouldn't get on the thing with you, and you would have to space
out. You have to change the show, but you could do some neat stuff.
Yeah.
I like this idea as a way of really and truly social distancing your haunt. And
right.
With absolutely, that's, if as long as the windows are rolled up, there's no risk of
getting... Yeah. And I am looking forward, because I think this is going to happen, that there's going to be a return of the flyers. You know, people who fly in haunted houses over you and close to you and stuff. I think that there's going to be a return of that, because they're going to be more than 6 feet above your head.
Yeah.
But I think I'm looking forward to seeing that.
I think we're going to be seeing a lot of old scares making returns and new scares being invented because of this.
Yeah.
And I think flyers are going to be one. I also think, like what we were just talking about, where they come from behind and drag, that way you're not screaming, you're not yelling. And if you just come out, that you can hear that 6 feet away. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, and I mean, one of the things, you know, there are movies about silence.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be really, really creepy to go to a haunt and there be no noise other than the bangs and the scrapes and stuff.
That was
and
what like, Limburu was, I thought.
I'm not going there. But no, I mean, like, if all of your characters had sewn mouths because, you know, they were in the mask with the sewn mouth, and then everything was just eerily quiet. I think.
To work.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Tangent. Anyways, the next story.
All right. Erebus is going to open an Oddities and Curiosities Museum, which is awesome because I love those places. This is an article by Natalie Broda at the Oakland Press. Erebus in Pontiac, Michigan will be adding the new Oddities Museum to its location. It's right next door.
Yeah, I think they're nearly attached.
They might have made a door between them, but they are in separate buildings so that they can have this open, even in COVID with, you know, the haunt closed, if that's the way that they decide to do that. They purchased an addiction recovery center nearby, and they're planning to expand.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love that it's the collection of the co-owner, Edward Terebus.
Yes.
Like now it explains the name Erebus now.
Exactly. It does. Just drop the T and you've got Erebus.
Oh, figure that out.
Maybe the T's silent.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
well, he's now Edward Erebus to me.
Yes. So it's, you know, a 42,000 square foot museum, which is
awesome. 4,200 square
foot. 4,200. Sorry. 4,200.
Yes, thank you.
There we go.
There you go.
Let's get this right. It's been a long weekend.
Yes, it has. Way too much drinking.
No.
But it was fun.
But anyway, so it's a good size museum.
Yeah.
I would love to go to that.
You know what? It sounds like an awesome place to be in a place. It sounds like he's got a really great collection.
Yeah.
They described like he has an antique Halloween masks.
Right.
And all these really odd and weird things. And it's like, you know. And I know how it is. Like, we're the haunty people in the neighborhood. People bring us oddities and curiosities they run across all the time.
Yeah. They drop them off on our doorstep.
Yeah. We've got a gravestone.
Yeah. Yeah. We had benches out front, and people like were leaving Halloween cats on them.
Yeah.
So we've got Halloween cats.
I'm sure some of it is like, you know, obviously he bought and acquired, but I'm sure some of it also is stuff tends to find its way to you.
It does.
You know, so it's got to be a little bit of both. Or like my advertising professor with her Coca-Cola collection.
Right.
It started out as a joke, and then she ended up buying and collecting a lot of Coke-themed stuff. And then people just started giving it to her. She says she hadn't bought anything Coca-Cola-themed in, like, a decade, but the collection keeps growing.
Yeah, well, and, I mean, that's what happens. Anytime anyone finds out that you collect X, then you're going to get all of X.
Yep.
You know, there's not going to be anything that you don't have of it.
Now, they did say they're still weighing their options for the 2020 season.
Exactly.
So, hopefully we'll know more. They said they should know more by, like, August is what I think they said in the article.
Yep.
All right, I like this story. Now we're getting to some of the happier ones.
That was a happier one.
This one's happy, too. Hollywood set designer helps elevate Clear Lake Haunt. Clear Lake, Iowa. The haunt is entitled The Nightmare Haunted Hike, which makes it like the least Googleable haunt ever. Mm-hmm. But Hollywood set designer Bob Hummel is working to help improve the haunt. He became friends with the owner way back. And basically, Hummel has over 300 production credits to his name. But since nothing's shooting due to COVID, he's flown out to Iowa and is helping revamp the new graveyard and Dracula's tomb sequence.
Yes.
So it looks pretty cool. I mean, the photos in the article, definitely this is one of those you should definitely check out the article. Got some great photos of the work. Neat stuff. I'm very, very cool what they're doing there. And honestly, I think that's a great idea, recruiting out-of-work set designers and people in the film industry that don't have anything going right now to work on haunts. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay,
go ahead and take the last one because I'm cobbling together the answers.
Got it. All right. Okay, and finally this week, like I said, we're going to end on a happy note, and I think we have succeeded with this one.
This is a happy,
heartwarming. There's nothing sad about this last story at all. Article is by Aaron Donnelly, Yahoo Life. Four-year-old Brody, his last name is not mentioned in the article, underwent his final chemotherapy treatment for stage 3 Burkitt lymphoma. He survived. He's doing very well. And unfortunately, because of COVID, none of his friends or family could attend the milestone. He got to ring the little bell and the place and all that, but he had to do it. And yeah, he was there with his nurses and such, but his mom couldn't see it or anything like that.
Right.
So,
well, his mom was there, but nobody else from his family or his friends could go.
So, Ranch of Horror in Turlock, California, which they also have a location near us, hosted a socially distanced drive-by parade and bell-ringing ceremony featuring a custom bell the attraction had made. Basically, they got a bunch of their creepy clowns, and he loves creepy clowns, apparently.
Yeah, he loves anything scary.
He loves scary stuff, and he especially loves creepy clowns.
Yes.
Teach your own, kid.
Well, and he's gotten, they're also the haunt that does the clownograms.
Yep.
So he's gotten one of those before.
Yeah.
And loved it.
So long story short, they held this little parade for him with tiny little like golf cart cars and had him ring a bell. And once again, you got to see the article in this one. Click through the image, the look on his face. This is the happiest kid in the damned universe in those photos.
And he should be.
He should be.
Just beat cancer.
Beat cancer.
And then he gets a parade for him.
Yeah. That is awesome. Good on Ranch of Horror for doing something so awesome for that kid. And giving him a bright spot during what is otherwise an extremely dark time.
Right.
All right. So, I know you're still in the process of cobbling together responses to the weekly question. You need me to stall for a few minutes?
You can re-say the question.
All right, this year's weekly question. This week's question is, what simple scare have you found that never seems to fail? And like I said, we want to put the focus on simple, want it to be accessible just by as many haunts as possible. You know, the less you can do it with, the better it works for my mind.
So we've got answers now.
Go for it.
Kirby Farm Mike says air cannons are always a good scare.
That is true.
Which is interesting because I wouldn't necessarily pick those.
Yeah, I wouldn't pick air cannons. Air cannons get a startle from me.
Yeah.
I
haven't seen them used well often.
That's the other problem.
That's the thing with that.
Okay.
That's a great. Because that is, you know, it's got the noise and it's got a touch element to it. So it's playing with two senses. That's a good one. Greg Reinhardt gave us two answers.
Okay.
Weighted slamming door that drops from the ceiling down into a door frame. He said that's one of the best scares he's seen. And for an easy one, banging trash can lids.
Yeah.
That's...
I, I, You know, there's nothing wrong with the shaker can. There's nothing wrong with banging trash can. Right. Nothing wrong with taking a folding chair out and beating the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with any of those approaches.
Elliot said any distracting scares. So distract and startle. Yeah. And Chris Gay said quarters in a tin can makes an easy noise maker. It's an easy way to make a noise maker. And Ty Rowley said the best is a sound button and a nice place to jump out from behind.
Yeah. And that's just it. It's like the classics are classics for a reason.
Yeah, they're tried and true. They work.
They work. The new scares will be invented. Some will stay. Some will go.
Yeah.
But the tried and true classics are forever classics.
Yeah, no, I do. Okay. Go ahead. But yes. Yeah, that's... But yeah, that's our answers so far this week.
All right. So if you are not listening live, take a moment. Go to hauntweekly.com. We have a contact form there. You can also comment on this or send us a message at Haunt Weekly on Facebook. You can DM us at Haunt Weekly on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You can also leave a comment on this video at youtube.com/hauntweekly.
Yeah, I guess I need to get with the Twitter for Haunt Weekly.
Probably.
I don't think I've been up to date on that.
Yeah, I put the new episodes out there. I don't do much else with it. Admittedly, and this is something that's been noted by several other people, the haunted attraction industry Facebooks, not Twitters.
Yeah. Yeah, but if there's a new platform that you guys like, let us know.
Yeah, if we are not somewhere that you think we should be, let us know at the platforms we are on.
Yes.
Don't let us know at the platform we're not on. That wouldn't do very much good.
Exactly.
Well, then, thank you very much for joining us and spending this past hour with us. I think we're just about out of time. Greatly appreciate the great answers to the question of the week. Looking forward to giving away some buttons.
Mm-hmm.
So, until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this has been Haunt Weekly episode 240. My voice is just not working at a 240. As we're doing the June and July news, we will see you guys next week.